as he comes to preach the word of God. Amen.
Why don't you praise him tonight? Come on, why don't you praise him? I feel the Lord in this house tonight. What a day that's going to be when we get over there. Anybody happy about that? Anybody excited? Oh, y'all didn't hear me.
Come on.
Anybody excited? You know, I'm glad. There are a lot of churches that don't have service on Sunday night, but I commend y'all tonight. Amen. We still got a remnant, don't we? And you know, we're not going back to Atlanta till tomorrow, so we can have church. Can't
That's we? Right.
We don't have to be anywhere till next week. So I tell you what, no finer man than Jerry and his family, just wonderful. I wish I had had more time to spend with him. But what a great man of God. He told a story today at lunch that had me thinking all afternoon. And it's a delight to be with y'all tonight. It's a joy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about, we go into so many different churches and so many different venues, and but I thank God for my roots. Don't ever let me forget, Lord, where I came from and how God has blessed. And although he's carried us into some places that I'm humbled by, that he would even open those doors. And we thank God for that, and we give him all the glory, because all that God is doing, I'm not smart enough to figure out how to do it. He had to do it. I never dreamed that this book would travel into 249 nations of the world, Forgiving the Unforgivable. And then now a movie in the process of being made. I never really thought. I'm a big thinker, but I just didn't see that coming. And God is saying to me, and God is saying to every, I like to see these young boys bringing their offerings up. Not just that they're giving to us, but they're doing something. God will take you places if you'll stay humble. Three of you agree with that. We got any visitors here tonight? I want to recognize you if you're here. I'm not going to ask you where you are, but if you just raise up your hand, let me see who you are. Let me see. Anybody? Yeah, there you are. Anybody from Middlesex tonight? Anybody? There you are back there in the back. Yeah, I see you. God bless you. I can't see too good back that far, but that's all right. I'm nearsighted. I don't have my contacts in, nor do I have my glasses. That's all right, though. We have a great pastor here tonight, one of my dearest friends, and we've been friends many, many years. Steve Edmondson, one of the greatest men of God you'll ever know. I mean that. And I'm so honored to have an open invitation to come to his church every year. We're coming back in next year in March. And we just enjoy Steve and Francis and his family. They're wonderful people. Amen. And we're so glad you're here tonight. We really appreciate you being here tonight. And we're going to give away some gifts here in just a minute. But could we go old school a minute, Ricky? Again. Ricky told me I was here 20 years ago. Well, my grandson's prophecy is coming to pass. You know, he said I was getting old. I sure don't remember. I remember preaching for you. I just don't remember anyway. Steve, he even remembered the message. That's pretty good. Ronnie Brock said, if you can remember a message for 1 week, the man's preached a masterpiece. Just saying. I don't know what you came to do. It's old. But I came to praise the Lord. Come on, sing it with us now. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on now, everybody. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. that you came to do. But I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just talked to a dear old saint. I just talked to a dear old saint. And she was praising the Lord. Sing it now. I just talked to a dear old saint. She was praising the Lord. Well, I just talked to a dear old saint. She was praising the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I like this one. I'm a member of a turned-on church. I'm a member of a turned-on church. And we love praising the Lord. I'm a member of a turned-on. Come on. And we love praising the Lord. Well, I'm a member of a turned-on church. And we love praising the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do. I don't know what you came to do. Come on. But I came to praise the Lord. Did you really? I don't know what you came to do. But I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do. But I came to praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One more time, let's make the devil mad. Come on, everybody sing it now. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Now I'm going to count to three. I did it this morning. I'm going to do it again. And the first one to touch this book oh, it's going to be tough tonight. One. Back up. Back up. Two. Two and a half. Three. You got it. You got it. Give that boy one too tonight, okay? Hey, look at that. God bless you. I'll make sure he gets one, okay? The other one. Dan Howerson's got his brand new worship classic. This is powerful. Now, some of you've got this, but if you don't have it, stop by the table tonight, see him, and get this. I mean, I have worked with Dan and taught him almost everything he knows on the piano. He's doing good. I think he's going to make it. Dan's been with us almost 4 years now, and he just released this about 6 months ago or a year ago, and it's powerful. You want to get this if you love good music. Anybody like to have this? First hand, it went up. I saw that hand right there, lady. Ma'am, sorry. I didn't mean to say it like that. There you are. I hope it's a blessing to you. God bless you. And I got one more thing to give away. This is the power of forgiveness. Pastor Franklin and myself have put together three CDs from Free Chapel. Many of you watch Free Chapel at Kingdom Connection. And you can get these tonight, okay? You can get this, my message, Pastor Franklin's message. You can get this and the book and the Let It Go message live at Free Chapel for $25. Is that right? Is that what we're doing tonight? $25. And I want to bless Pastor Jerry tonight. He's got the book, but I want to give you this, Jerry, because I know how much you love Pastor Franklin. God bless you. I hope it's a blessing to you. Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you. Stop by the table. One lady bought, I think, 10 books today. So if everybody buy 10, we won't take any back to Atlanta, okay? Can we do another old one? Oh, how I love Jesus, huh? Anybody love Jesus tonight? Oh, that was a little weak. I realized a long time ago, church, I'm a zero and a nothing without Him. But with Him, there's not a devil I cannot defeat. There's not a valley I cannot come through. There's not a mountain I cannot climb. Oh, how I love Jesus. Help me sing it now. Sing it to Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, 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 how I love Jesus. Because He I thank heaven's joining. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me.
Come on, let's worship him a minute. Come on. Oh, if he's been good to you, would you praise him? If he's been good to you, would you worship him? If he's been good to you, would you just let him know it right now? That name that is above every name, the matchless, powerful, strong name of Jesus. Whew. All right, Lord, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Is that okay? Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship him. Something about that name.
Something about that name.
Oh, yes,
Jesus.
Come on, sing it. Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about that name. Oh, yes, Master. Savior Jesus, like the fragrance after the there's something about that name. Let's get ready for the word. Sing it one more time. Sing it now. Something about his name, Master, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain, Jesus. But there's something about that name. In your Bibles, everybody stand as they continue to play that beautiful song. Thank you. Just keep playing it, everybody. I had wrestled this afternoon, back and forth, and a couple messages that I felt like the Lord would have me bring. Obviously, I can only bring one of them. I want to ask you, because I believe you're a praying people, because you say, how do you know that? Because I know your pastor. And We are going to be going on television in Atlanta area and also talking to another station that will put us on TV for in 26 million homes to start with. That's a good start. And you know television is not cheap. So if anybody here tonight's a business, you'd like to sponsor that, I'm sure, sponsor anything. I mean, whether it be $100 or $1,000 or whatever. I've learned as I travel to never underestimate the people of God. Because I've had people over the years that have just been so generous to help us get the message out. And the producer that's producing the movie called me a couple weeks ago, I guess. And he said, well, you know, we got to raise some more money, and over $1 million, but you know that's not too much for God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Last time I read his word this morning, he owns it all anyhow. So if you don't want to support, that's okay. That's fine. Just pray for us. Maybe you don't have the money to help, but if you do, maybe God will speak to you. That's all. But pray for us as we continue to preach the gospel throughout the nation, that God's people will be set free from unforgiveness, what I dealt with this morning. If you don't have the book, stop by and get a copy right after the service. We do have some left back there. Dan, don't you appreciate Dan Howerson? Don't you really appreciate his music? And you just don't know. Until you travel with us, you don't know. He handles everything. I mean, he handles the business side. He handles the tapes and books. He handles the music. He goes into churches across America, meets with praise teams, makes sure the music is right. And when we don't fly, he drives the car that takes me. And I appreciate him so much. I don't know what I'd do without him. He's such a God-given vessel to us, and we appreciate and love his family so much, and we appreciate his music. And I tell you, I think I've done a good job teaching him how to play the piano. He's doing great. He's doing great. No, I don't play. And so tonight, I feel like the Lord's leading me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Would you turn there, please, and remain standing? I'll let you sit down for the next 30 minutes. How's that? We might just pray, have a prayer line tonight. I tell you, I'm feeling a little old school. That's not really old school to me, but it may be to some of you. I don't know. But we may, if you have a need tonight, we may just pray for everybody. How's that? We do that around Free Chapel. And so we may do that tonight as the Lord leads. Verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able, somebody say he's able, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How many believe he's able tonight? Lord, I thank you tonight for your people. Well, this great church, these great leaders. I thank you for my friend, Pastor Jerry and his wife, Pastor Ricky and his wife, and all the leaders that make up this great church. I thank you for friends that are here tonight. And I pray tonight, Lord, you not let me say one word out of your will. But everything that I say, may it bring honor and glory to his name. And everybody said amen. Shake hands with somebody. If you love everybody, then you can be seated. If you don't, come up here and we'll pray for you. Okay, help me out. Okay. Praise God. I believe tonight that no giant in any area of your life will come down without what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. You can dance, you can shout, you can run all over the church. Nothing wrong with that if you're in the spirit. Amen.
But you cannot bring the giants in your life down without this. And that is commitment. I believe tonight, Pastor, that if the people that are in this building tonight get a hold of what I'm talking about, you would not recognize your church 6 months from now. I said this morning, I want to tap into something I said, Jerry, this morning, was that a pastor came up to me at camp meeting last year, Steve, when I preached the camp meeting, and he said to me, he said, "Brother Stone, will you come to a small church?" And I said, "On one condition." And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "All you got to do is ask." So he asked me, and we went. Sitting at the table after a great service that morning, and the Holy Ghost had really moved in the church, he looked at me across the table and he said, "Brother Craig, will you tell me how," a young preacher, he said, "can you tell me how to build this church?" And I said, "Oh yeah, it's really simple." And I told him two things. That was 6-7 months ago, and he's been doing what I told him to do, and he is experiencing revival in his church. In the last few weeks, he's had I don't know how many people saved. And you say, "What in the world did you tell him?" You get your pen, get your paper, write it out, because it's really complicated. I said, if you'll pray and if you'll fast and get really committed, your church will catch fire. I'll leave it with you. Are you committed? Because without commitment, nothing really happens. I believe tonight that the clarion call to every believer in this building is for us to examine our level of commitment. We talk about commitment. We think we really are committed, but are we really committed? Because you cannot conquer what you are not committed to. You can't wish it away. You can't throw pennies in a well and pay it away. You can't shout it away. You can't dance it away. You have to be, if you're going to do anything for God, you have to be committed. So I want to talk about four areas and how we can bring, because every one of us in this building tonight, we all face giants, don't we? I mean, you know, we all, sometimes we look at others and we think, boy, they've really got it together. Don't we? Don't we do that? We size people up sometimes. They really got it together. But I want to tell you a little secret. No matter how they look like, they got everything together. Everybody has one thing that's not together. I just thought I'd let you in on that secret. Because there's none of us perfect. We've all got some area that or areas that we need to work on. Come on, somebody. So I'm going to talk about it for a few minutes today. Tonight, we go through the actions of commitment, but sometimes I don't really believe we're really committed and we're connected and not really joined to something because we have no understanding of our responsibility to any relationship. You see, you cannot have a relationship without reciprocity. You cannot get into a relationship to get and not give. Can I tell you the key to a happy marriage? One word, give. Give. Well, two words. Give. Everybody say give. And forgive. Give and forgive. Well, I know the world teaches us to take, right? Add up what you're getting, weigh it up against what you're giving, and then you will know whether or not you're really joined to anything or not. Because, you know, people will come to work and they'll take a job, but they're really not committed to the job. What they want is the check. Are y'all out there? They just want some money, baby. Everybody likes some money, right? They're just here for the check. They really are not committed. There's no, they don't really understand reciprocity. Everybody wants some money. We know we have to have it to live. But if you're not willing to give at least as good as you get, it will not last. And that's why you can't stay in a job. That's why you can't work for anybody, because you've never been connected or joined to anything. Oh, yeah, you collect anniversaries and you got birthday plaques and all that stuff on the wall. But you've never been the person you could be, because the could be is locked up behind commitment. And until you are committed, you will never get the could be. Somebody say amen. You've got to be committed. I wonder what would happen tonight, church, if you threw your whole self into your God-given dream. Think about that. Everything that God has put in your heart, if you just threw your whole self into it, what do you give back for what you get? Wonder what would happen if you would have been committed in school. Wonder what, don't look at your neighbor. Wonder what would happen if you'd have been committed in your marriage, if you'd have been committed to your church, if you'd have thrown your whole self. Let me tell you something, church. We're running out of time. And I think so many times that we have become too casual and we're not fully committed, and you will never know what you could be until you give it your all. Remember what I told you about my grandson saying this morning? It's too soon to give up and quit. Look at somebody and say, it's too soon to quit. Give your all. You know, you've been at 30-fold and you've been at 60-fold when you were created to be a 100-fold person. Oh, y'all didn't get that. I said you were created to be a 100-fold person. Commitment means I will be there for you. Commitment says I'll stand there with you. Commitment says, I'll stand when you fall. I'll love you when you fall and others are talking about you. Come on now, and criticizing you. I'll hang in there and I'll be committed and I'll be there. I want to tell you something. Greatness will cost you something. It will cost you something. It's wrong for you to think God's going to bless something you're not committed to. God's not going to bless your home if you're not committed to it. God's not going to bless your marriage if you're not committed to it. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I think God, we think God is someone playing in Vegas, but God is not hitting the slot machine. Are you hearing me? Can I tell you that God is a guarantee? Oh, come on, somebody. He is a definite I am. He is a mighty God. He is a sure blessing. In other words, he told Abraham, I swear I'm going to bless you. Ain't no change. There's no doubt. And there's no joke about it. If I told you I'm going to bless you, if I have to move heaven and earth, I will open the windows of heaven over your life and I will bless your life if you'll commit. He says, I will if you will. Everybody say, I will if you will. Get committed. Look at somebody and say, get committed. Commitment is when you put your everything into it. Commitment is when you put all of your energy in. It's all of your effort. It's tenacity. It's discipline. Nothing is just going to jump out of the fire if you don't throw something in there. Are you hearing me, church? It's not going to happen. You can't get out of something you're not willing to put in. You got to put something. But what would happen if every time we met together, we'd all be putting something in? Come on, somebody. If we'd all spend some time in prayer for the service. If we'd all spend some time helping the pastor. If we'd all spend some time maybe doing something at the church that's worthwhile. Come on, somebody. Talk to me now. Your lack of commitment is killing you. Four areas I'll talk about briefly. Number one, I believe you need to be committed to God. The God who gave you life. The God who blew breath into your very spirit. Can I tell you that he has a right to expect a return on his investment? He gave you life. I owe him. You owe him a level of commitment. Amen? He gave you life beyond all others. Mama bought me shoes. Daddy got me a bicycle. But God gave me life. God is approached in your spirit, not in your flesh. You're dancing. I love to dance before the Lord, but you're clapping and all that. That's good. But that does not mean you're committed to God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's when your insides, everybody say insides, is given unto God. It's when everything within you, it's your heart that's given to God. My whole heart, I will follow after him. Not my hands, not my feet, it's my heart. It's my innermost being. It's committed to God. This is what commitment is. I will not face a giant without you, Lord. I will not make a major decision without you, Lord. I will not bring someone into my life just because they please me without knowing it's your will, Lord. I will submit myself and my destiny and my future over to you because you are my foundation. You are my rock. You are my defense. You are my fortress. You are my strength. You are my everything. And without you, I can do nothing. That's what commitment is. Now, I told you this morning that Janet and I have been married for 38 years. But we have not stayed together just because we love each other. Yes, we love each other. But we didn't stay together, Ricky, just because we love each other. It's called commitment. In the high times and the low times. In the good times and in the bad times. Oh, y'all so holy, you married folks tonight. I mean, when Janet and I got married, I thought, Lord, I don't know what went wrong. I mean, we were so happy dating. We were just getting along. Well, this is great. We're going out to the Pizza Hut and have dinner together. She never would eat hardly in front of me. But we'd go out to the Pizza Hut, and then all of a sudden, we're dating for a year and a half, and we're so happy. And then we get married, and we're like, oh, Lord Jesus, what went wrong? You take two people that are in love, and they get married, and everybody's got some of those crazy little things. Oh, y'all, so I see the wings budding out there. But it was commitment. And we made a commitment that we're going to stay together no matter what. We're going to love each other. And now 38 years, 3 grown children, wonderful children, all serving God, and 10 wonderful grandchildren. And my 10-year-old little granddaughter stood in front of me the other night in the living room and said, Poppy, this is what I'm going to sing in school. It's a Christian school. The old rugged cross. I said, sing it, baby. Sing it for me. And she began to sing. And it touched my heart because, you see, we've got to be committed to God and committed to our families. Come on, somebody. And it took commitment. It takes commitment. That's what holds a marriage together in the good times and in the bad times, in the valleys and in times when everything is good money-wise and when your money goes funny. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about in this Pentecostal church. I remember, sister, when Jan and I got married, Steve, I remember we didn't have nothing. Sister Nelson, we didn't have nothing. I mean, we lived in a little apartment going to seminary. I was so excited, Ricky, when we bought a Mr. Coffee. I thought that, man, we've arrived. I got me a Mr. Coffee machine, and I can drink that coffee and study at night, go to work, go to school all day, go to work, come home, study for the exam, all that stuff. And we had this is the truth. Janet would kill me if she knows. This ain't on tape, I hope. But anyway, thank you. We had a cardboard table. But we didn't have just a cardboard table. We went out and got some of that stick-on stuff, you know, that adhesive stuff. And we put some flowers over, made it look real nice. We had us a nice table. We had indirect lighting. That's when the moonlight hits the trash can outside, indirectly comes in, ricochets into your room. We had 4 Maypop tires on our car. Maypop at any time. But we had love. And we had commitment. That's what it takes. Commitment. Look at your neighbor and say, commitment. I will take no promotion you don't want me to have, Lord. Oh, I'm going to really get you on this one. I will accept no friend requests you don't want me to have. Oh, Lord Jesus, that went over good. Because you are my rock. And you are my fortress. You see, you've got to focus your You've got to shift your focus, rather, from performance to his presence. Oh, y'all missed that. You know, doing a lot of TV, they'll tell you in the studio when they're getting ready for you, when you're getting ready to go out, they'll say, well, now, you know, say this and what about this and this point, da-da-da-da-da, and make sure everything's right, make sure your hair and all that. And that's all good. But if you're not careful, you can get too performance-oriented and not about his presence and ministry-oriented. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. So when you feel defeated and you feel alone, learn to be thankful, number one, and learn to trust God and leave the outcome to him. Number two, everybody say number two, I've only got four. So number two is commitment to your family. And this is very important. You better be committed to your family. If you only love me when you like me, we ain't going to make it. Because sooner or later, I'm going to pluck your last nerve. How you like me now? You got to commit to your crazy family. That crazy cousin, and all of us have one. The personalities that rub you the wrong way, you still got to love them. You got to be committed through the storm and the rain and the heartache and the pain and the disappointment. Listen to this. You better get this down in your spirit. You have to believe in the we and the us, not the me and the you. It's a big difference. Commitment. It's not a feeling. Oh, I feel like this way, Craig. And I tell young couples that are getting ready to get married, they say, oh, we feel like we're so in love. I say, that'll pass. It's okay. It'll go. It'll leave. You got to come home when you are in love and when you're not in love, or you're not going to make it. And stay there, I got a good one for you, till the love comes back. We just stayed committed. If we didn't feel like loving each other, we didn't feel like being friends, we didn't feel like even looking at each other. I know y'all too holy for that, but we were committed. This is not Hollywood shake and bake stuff. This is reality. It's a commitment, church. I made a commitment to that girl in 1978. It doesn't matter. The good times, great. The bad times, I got to stay with her. I'm committed. I don't want to embarrass my family. I don't want to embarrass my children. I want them to see enough of Calvary in me that they want it to. Commitment, church. Everybody shout, are y'all getting this? Commitment. It will cost you something to be a man of God. Family. Everybody say family is important. You're my son in my house, and you're my son when you took the money. You're still my son when you're in the hog pen, in the whorehouse, on the road back home. If you die, you're still my son. If you're in jail, you're still my son. If you're gay, you're my son. If you're a cross-dresser, you're my son. It's commitment. And if you're not going to be committed, then you shouldn't have kids. You're my son when you're on crack and cocaine. You're my son in prison. If you join the Nation of Islam, you're still my son. Even the decisions you make, and those decisions are not ones that I would make, you're still my son, and I love you. It's called commitment. Commitment has nothing to do with feelings. You do it because you are supposed to do it, and stop expecting to be rewarded for something you're supposed to do anyway. Come on, somebody. And you listen, and when the time comes, you're going to take care of me. That's what you need to let your children know. It's called commitment. So make a lot of money right now. Because it's coming back, baby. Oh, y'all so holy. Commitment. When you walk in the room, I know. When I walk in the room, my grandchildren, my children know, help just walked in the room. If they need it. I remember many years ago, my son was in college and he got into the drug scene, Brother Nelson. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. It's the only way I know how to be. He got messed up, and he got in. Somebody had laced some brownies with some strong stuff, heavy stuff. And they got into it. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And he and his friend. And it almost killed him, killed them, both of them. And I was 10 hours away. I'll never forget where I was. I was going to a John Hagee meeting. And I was in a hotel and I got the call, came through. And I heard my son on the other end saying, "Daddy, pray for me. I'm dying." Now that'll wake you up when you're 10 hours away. I didn't know later, but he told me later in the paramedics, he was on the floor with his friend, and the drugs were so heavy that it was messing him up, and it was about to kill him, and he was crawling, trying to get to the door, and he had the phone to his ear, and I'll never forget it. "Daddy, please help me. Please help me." And he said this. He said, "Demons were screaming in my ear. He could hear them." I said, "Hang on, son. I'm coming." And I got my brother on the other line. They called the paramedics. I'm going to fast forward real quick. It's called commitment. And he held him on the line. The paramedics had to bust the door down to get to him. And they took him to the hospital. It almost took their life. Now, you got to understand, this is the second time. Remember, if you read the book, he was almost killed. My firstborn. 10 hours, Ricky. And I got there, and he'd already released him, and he was sitting out in the back of the yard. He and his friend were renting an apartment, or a house, rather. And he was sitting out by the on the deck, and I came through the door. I'll never forget his face. And when I saw him, he was still in a state of, I guess, under the control of drugs still. Wasn't out of his system. It's the best way I know how to say it. But when he saw me, there was a glimmer, a spark in his eyes. And I said, "Son, I've come to help you. I've come to help you. Now come with me." Well, I don't think I said it like that. I said, "You're coming with me." And I grabbed him up in a nice way, and I hugged him, and he loved on me, and I loved on him, and tears flowed, and he was still under that stupor. I took him to a nearby hotel and kept him there for days. I prayed over him, Jerry. I fasted. I prayed over him. I put him into bed with me. This is my family. This is my boy. I'm not letting the devil have him. But here's what I was getting to. He told me later. He said, "Daddy, the demons were screaming at me, and I didn't know how I was going to make it. I thought I was going to die. But the moment that you begin to say the name of Jesus, and the moment, Steve, that you begin to pray," he said, "the demons started backing up." Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. Oh, my God, I feel the Lord in this house. He said they backed up. The first one backed up. The second one, and all five of them left. And Jesus delivered him that week. And he's serving God today. Give the Lord a praise. Come on, somebody. And he's never touched it since. Oh, come on. I love my family. Come on, somebody. Don't give up on your family. I've got somebody in mind right now that I'm praying, and his child has just tried him to the last nerve. I said, "Don't give up. Stay committed to him." Committed. Committed. I want to tell you, all of hell backs up when you get committed. When you begin to say the name of Jesus. When you begin to say, "Let me work, Pastor. Let me serve. Let me help. I'm going to be a committed Christian. I'm going to be committed." Can I preach a few more minutes? Somebody's got to arrest this crazy generation that wants to take everything and give nothing back. You can't just take and take and take. We've got to give and give and give and give. Hallelujah. 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 I believe we ought to pray over those grandchildren every day. I do it. I do it in my prayer place. I believe in that. You may think that's old-fashioned. I don't care. I do it. I get in my place alone down in the basement in my home where I have a wailing wall and a place where I pray. And I call their names. And I plead the blood. And I say, devil, hear me well. You will not have them. They'll belong to God. You'll not have my wife. You're not have my children. You're not going to have my ministry. You're not going to have my money. You're not going to take my dream. You're not going to mess up my mind. I'm a child of God. And all God has to do is shift your brain. And all of a sudden you're healed. Ooh, I just said something there. Somebody ought to get a hold of it. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Get committed. You haven't seen anything until you get committed. Number three. How many know I got four? Commitment to church. I love the church. I don't know where I'd be without the church. I thank God for the church. I thank God for Bishop Floyd Williams that laid his hand on me as a child and anointed me. I thank God for T.L. Lowry that laid his hand on me as a child. I thank God for John Hedgepeth and the church that taught me and helped me and drilled me and disciplined me and mentored me. There's nothing like the church. Thank God for the church. Hallelujah. Never seen anything like this generation today. They don't commit to anything. You're lucky if you see them after they join the church. And if you do see them, it's only on Sunday. And don't talk too long because I got to go. We sacrifice nothing for our church. We serve nowhere. And yet, is the pastor preaching? It's about what can I get and not nothing about what I can give. And if I think I'm not going to get what I expect to get, I just won't show up. Because I have a getting mentality and not a giving mentality. Come on, somebody. What do you give for all you got? Any relationship that does not have reciprocity will not last. I love the church. The church took me in. The church showed me how to change my identity and my life and turn it all around. Thank God for the church. Minimum dedication never leads to maximum blessing. Some people just want the miracles, but I want the encounter with Him. Don't you? Anybody want that? Commitment. Commitment. If I'm always the one giving, and if I'm always the one sacrificing, pushing myself over the limit, giving to the, and I don't see anything in return, eventually my patience will wither, my hope will die, and I will give up. How long can you maintain any relationship without reciprocity? Why is it, Pastor Ricky, that some of our greatest givers never give, some of our greatest singers never sing, and some of our greatest workers never work? Everybody wants to talk about going to the recital, but baby, you got to go to the rehearsal. If you're going to be in the recital, get to the rehearsal. If you're going to be on the platform, you better spend some time before the Lord in His prayer. Come on, somebody, talk to me. You better get to the rehearsal. Any relationship that does not have real reciprocity will die. If you don't learn to give like you learn to get in every area of life where there's no reciprocity, it will die. Anything that takes more than it gives will die. The world teaches you how to take, not how to give. And are you demanding more of your God, your family, and your church than you give? Give. Look at somebody and say, give. The pulpit is committed. Are the pews or chairs? Committed to God. Everybody say God. Committed to family. Let me just say something about family again. You know, this ought to be our attitude. We are going to get through this. No matter what, we're going to get through this. That should be our approach to our family. We will get through this. We may have to bunk up. We may have to move in together. We may have to get another part-time job, but we will get through this. We will. We'll get through it. I will not take something from you unless I add something to you. I want to be an asset, not a liability. I want my family to know they can count on me. Amen. And we need men that can be counted on. We need men that will stand up and be difference makers, not space takers. Think about it. What do people get when they get you? Everybody wants an asset. Liabilities get left on the roadside. But things happen. And people say things. And relationships sometimes go sour. But you can bring it back together if you stay committed. I mean, we all say things. Have you? I know y'all never done this. Y'all so holy, but I have. I mean, we were in Dallas not too long ago, and we were going today start to do a TV thing for my book. And I'll be honest with you, I had this sophisticated GPS system, but it would not get me there. It would take me so close, brother, and then, detour. I'm like, oh, Jesus. After about six times, I was about to lose it. And my sweet little innocent, calm wife says, honey, just let it go. Like, you preaching my sermon. Preaching, I took the advice and we found the place. But sometimes it's testings that we go through. And my wife, she hadn't said this in a long time, Jerry, but she used to say this to me years ago, and it would just absolutely just almost just stop me in my tracks. She would say, well, you're just acting like a child. Oh, that got me. I would cringe. You know, oh, what a world, like the Wicked Witch of the West. Oh, what a world, what a world, what a world. Oh, that's it. I give up. I walk out. I get in my car, drive around, go to the Dairy Queen or something, come back in an hour. It was all over. She just knew she said that. That was it. She hadn't said that in a long, long time. I mean, no, I'm growing. Amen. Commitment. I don't know where that came from. That is not in my outline. That is, whoa. Are y'all still out there?
Yes, sir.
In a few more minutes. Commitment. Commitment. Commitment to your dream, number four. You cannot get people to believe in your dream until you believe in it yourself. Commitment. If I had a golf club tonight, I would illustrate it. You can take a golf club. I don't care if you pay $5 for it, $50 for it, $500. It's just a golf club, right? Just a golf club. Until you put it in the hands of Tiger Woods. I love basketball. Basketball is just a basketball. Until you put it in the hands of Michael Jordan. Commitment. I heard about this man. It's a true story, and I want to give it to you tonight. He was 20 years old, and he got saved, Jerry, in one of our churches in Georgia. And he got really saved. You know, really saved? That's like I got. When I got saved, I thought I'd go down, get saved, get up, but they wouldn't let me up. I started to get up, Stephen, they pushed me back down. Said, you got to be sanctified. I said, sanctified? I didn't know nothing about sanctified. Being sanctified, sanctification, I didn't know much about that. I said, no, you got to get sanctified. After they spit on me, after they pulled on me, after they said, hold on, let go, get loose, sanctify him, Lord, sanctify him. Okay, I get sanctified. I thought I was good. I'm going to get up now. They said, oh, no, you don't. Get back down. I got really saved because they told me I need the Holy Ghost, and I got the Holy Ghost. But this young man really got saved. And he was so excited, Ricky. He went to the pastor and he said, Pastor, he said, I just want to do something for the Lord. I like those kind of people. I don't care what it is. You want me to just clean the toilets every week at church? I'll do that too. He said, I just want to do something for the Lord. He said, all right. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, you come on Saturday and you can have breakfast with us and you can join our bus team ministry. Now, I've done that. I did that at Northwood Temple when I was 16 years old. I drove a bus and picked up people, kids, and brought them to church every week. We had breakfast together. And so they would go in and have breakfast, and he's so excited. You know, he's just full of the Lord. And he gets teamed up, Sister Nelson, with a guy that's been in the church 42 years. And he ain't expecting God to do much. This young man's full of the Holy Ghost. He said, they go out on this, you know, if you know anything about bus ministry, you know you got to go out on Saturday, knock on doors. It's tough work sometimes. And you got to invite people to come, then you got to go back and get them. And they're out there, and they're going through the routes, and he's the silent partner. And he's listening to this guy who's been saved, you know, 42 years. And he's really excited about what he's doing. And he's so full of energy. So he just walks up to the door. And he just tells them about Jesus. And I said, I don't want to hear anything about that. And he just turns around and walks and gets on the bus. And the young man full of the Holy Ghost, he says to him, he said, brother, I know I'm the silent partner. I know I'm supposed to be quiet. And I know I've just been on this thing a few weeks. And I know, but I'm bubbling over. He said, I just want to talk to somebody. Just let me have one house. Let me just invite one person to church. Just let me do it one time. Then I promise I'll shut up the rest of the day. He said, okay. He said, all right, the next house we come to is all yours. He said, really? He said, yeah, it's yours. He said, okay, great. So they drive up. They turn off the bus. And he jumps out of the bus, a young man full of the Holy Ghost. And he goes and he knocks on the door. The door opens. 6'7", 280-pound man steps to the door and says, what do you want? And he said, well, I'm from the Church of God. And I just wanted to come by. About the time he said, come by, the man slammed the door in his face. Bus captain. He's not expecting anything to happen. He just turns around and he walks back to the bus. He starts up the engine and he looks and he sees a young man full of the Holy Ghost standing on the porch. He hasn't moved. He says, son, did you not see the size of that man? He said, oh, yes, sir. I saw him. But I just feel compelled, talking about commitment, of the Holy Ghost to knock just one more time. By this time, the bus captain's getting nervous and he's starting to sweat. Oh, God, he's going to get us killed. He knocks on the door one more time. Man opens the door, said, I thought I told you I don't want to hear anything about your church. I don't want to hear anything about your God. And the young man, full of the Holy Ghost, put his finger in his face and said, just be quiet a minute. And it startled the man. And he said, I just come by to tell you I was a drunkard. I was on my way to hell. No, I felt like nobody loved me. I had no vision. I had no hope. I had no joy. But somebody told me about a man named Jesus and he changed my life. And I just want to come in and tell you a little bit about my story. And he said, about that time, the man broke and tears began to flow down his face. And he said, all right, I don't know about all this nonsense, but I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Come on in. And the young man, full of the Holy Ghost and committed to God, walks in. And he's standing there in the living room. And the bus captain reluctantly gets off the bus. And he said, we got a live one now. He's going to get us killed. They're standing there in the middle of the living room. I feel the Holy Ghost every time I tell it. He said, I begin to tell the story and I begin to look at that man. I begin to tell him how my life was a mess and how I was on drugs and alcohol and I really wasn't going anywhere. I was about to commit suicide, but somebody took the time to tell me about Jesus. And I just came by, sir, to tell you there's a Jesus in heaven that loves you and he can save you and he can heal you and he can deliver you. And the man stopped him, but he began to break and tears began to flow more. And he said, oh, son, he said, it sounds good what you're saying. That really sounds nice. But I want to tell you why. I don't listen to that stuff you're telling me. I want to tell you why I won't go to your church. He said, please tell me. He said, back in the back room, down that hallway, my wife and I have a 5-year-old little girl that's being diagnosed with leukemia. The doctors have already told us, get ready, she's going to die at any day now. I don't understand if there's a God like you say there is, why my little girl can't live a normal life, why she has to die at an early age. But it didn't stump the young man full of the Holy Ghost. He said, sir, can I ask you a question? He said, oh, please do. He said, if God will heal your little girl and you can know she's healed, will you ride my bus? That's called commitment. By this time, the bus captain's about to have a heart attack. He says, the man broke. I'll never forget it. He said he got down on his knees and he said, "Sir, if your God will heal my little girl of leukemia, you won't have to worry about me. I'll be the first one to ride your bus." Young man full of the Holy Ghost says, "Show me where she is." Somebody shout, commitment. Commitment. He said, I'll never forget. He said they walked down this long hall. The bus captain kind of reluctantly following behind. And he walks into the room. He says, and I remember him as he said, I looked into a room, and there in the corner of a room was a little girl laying there, almost lifeless. Her hair had almost completely come out. Her color had already changed. You could hear other kids playing outside in the neighborhood near the house. But this little girl, 5 years old, was confined to this bed. She was dying with leukemia. He said, but about that time, I walked over to that little girl and I picked her up and I said, "Lord, I'm holding this child up to you. You said when you saved me that you gave me power over all the power of the enemy, power over every disease, power over everything the enemy tries to throw our way. Now, Lord, I'm asking you in the mighty name of Jesus to heal this girl." And all of a sudden, the girl screamed out, "Daddy, I feel something touching my body." And God healed that girl that day. And God saved the man that day. I want to tell you, there's power in commitment. There's power in staying with Him. There's power in getting connected with the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And she is healed and He's saved. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you're too late to tell me He's not a miracle supernatural God. He's a miracle working God. Hallelujah. 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 Tell somebody it will happen. It will happen. Woo. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. We're going to pray. Pastor, can we pray for everybody tonight? Possible that we'll. I mean, we're not. If you don't want prayer, that's fine. We're not going to make you. But I feel an anointing here tonight. Help me, guys. Help me, ushers. Don't anybody miss out on this, because I believe the Lord. I've got more, but I'm going to stop right here. Commitment, commitment, commitment. He's not just the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's not just the beginning. He's the end, Steve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, it was a miracle. A miracle. My son walked out of that hospital room and he's been healed ever since. Whatever God starts, He will finish. He will finish. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. Singers, come on up here. Could we do it this way, Jerry? Could we just maybe line everybody up on this side? And I'm just going to pray for you. And just ask you to walk by here if you've got a need, or maybe you just want us to pray for your family. We do this every year, sometimes twice a year at our church. We pray for families. We let people come through the line, but I tell you what, we all go through that line. Just stop right there, sister. Stop right there. You're going to be the first one. Thank you. We're going to go this way, okay? Everybody come behind these two precious teenagers right now. Everybody, families. If you got your family here, come. Get in the line, please. It wrap around the church. I don't care. Come on, everybody that will, just come. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, that's right. Thank you, Jerry. Come on, come on. Steve, I want you to help me pray. Come up here with me and Pastor. Y'all get ready. We're going to pray. I know something's getting ready to happen in this place. Something's getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. You say, Craig, some things have been happening in my home. There's some things that just aren't right, but I'm believing today, tonight, when I walk through this line, it's going to get right. It's going to get right. Steve, I'm going to ask you to stand on that right side of this young lady. Don't go yet. Pastor Nelson, you stand on the other side. Okay. And I'm going to stand. I didn't get much. Let me get just a little more. Okay. Thank you. All right. I believe. Now, you can call me old-fashioned if you want. But I can tell you story after story. There's power in agreement. There's power in laying hands. Your pastor, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. My dear
dear first cousin, Richie Franklin, who's gone on to be with the Lord, a prince of a man. Jerry knows it well, knows him well, and knew him well. He gave me a prophecy, Jerry, before he died. Every word, Steve, that he said is coming to pass. Don't you ever think God is through with you, because he's not. You'll hold on and hold out. Now, he's on the other side where we're trying to get to. But he's got to work for you, Jerry, and you, Steve, and every one of you. Now, I want to pray for families tonight, because I know I've raised three children. And sometimes I feel like I'm raising grandchildren too. Not really, but I love it. But I know the things they go through. But I know a God in heaven that can work out every situation, every family problem, whatever it is. God is bigger than anything you got.